Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome to Fresh Encounter, the radio ministry of Lifelong Anointing Church. Our mission as a church is to equip the body of Christ to increase in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with God and with men. We're glad that you joined us for this edition of the broadcast. It is our prayer that this broadcast will be a blessing to you. Here now is Pastor Otuno with today's message.
In Luke chapter 2, reading from verse number 52, the Bible tells us, say, and Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, in favor with men, and in favor with God. If you look closely at the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things I want you to notice in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ is that nothing that Jesus does is random. Jesus never does anything by chance. His life is not organized by chance. Everything that the Lord Jesus Christ does, the way the life of our Lord Jesus Christ is organized, is intentional, it is deliberate. Everything about him is well orchestrated. Take, for example, his birth. The Bible tells us that thousands of years before he was born, there was a design that at a particular time he was going to come on earth. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 tells us, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. His birth was designed. That tells you Jesus Christ was not a random kind of person. He doesn't just wake up one day and say, this is the next thing we're supposed to do. No, everything is carefully planned. Everything is carefully orchestrated. His birth was designed. His actions were designed. Bible tells us that when one of his close friends, Lazarus, was dying, Bible said he was sick. The Bible says that the man waited for going there. Bible tells us that when he was called to the Last Supper, the Bible tells us in John chapter 13, he said, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he has come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garment, took a towel, gathered himself, and then poured water in the basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. Very, very deliberate action. Nothing rushed. Everything had a reason. Everything had a purpose. Everything was geared towards a particular objective. So his actions were designed. His association was also designed. The Bible told us that when he was about to choose his disciple, he didn't just go around picking people by chance. Look at Mark chapter 3 verse 13. He said he went up to the mountain and called those he himself wanted. In other words, there was a reason why he picked each and everyone that formed the part of his core team that was going to be in his ministry. So his association was by design. And the Bible tells us, if you read John chapter 6, in verse number 17, the Bible says, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? Which means Judas was not a mistake. He did not pick Judas because when he was praying, he got tired and he didn't know what to do. And he just needed 12 people and they said, okay, Judas, join us. No, it was not an accident. Judas was not an accident. He chose Judas to do exactly what Judas was supposed to do. The point I'm trying to make is that association of our Lord Jesus Christ was not by mistake. It was by design. He carefully selected the people that were around him. Not only that, when he was performing ministry, when he wants to minister to somebody, when he wants to heal somebody, when he wants to raise the dead, he is also done by design. When Lazarus died, Jesus waited before he went to the tomb. And he knew exactly what he was going to do when he got there, because he knew he was going to call him out. He said that Lazarus is asleep. He said, but it was through the glory of the Almighty God. His ministry was by design. But most importantly, his death was by design. He didn't just feel like committing suicide. I'm tired of dealing with these Pharisees and the Sadducees. That was not his intention. There was a reason. And the Bible tells us, no one takes it from me. Talking about himself and his death. John chapter 10 verse 18. He said, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down by myself. I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. His death was by design. The Bible said that if the devil had an idea of what the death of our Lord Jesus Christ was going to accomplish, he would not even attempt to kill him. He wouldn't do it. Because he didn't know that it was going to mean the total victory over the work of the devil. But the point I'm making is that everything that Jesus did was carefully designed. There was nothing accidental about his life. There was nothing random about his life. Nothing was left to chance. Everything was done for a particular purpose. That is why he was a success in his ministry. That was why he was able to fulfill his calling upon the earth. And the reason I'm telling you all this is because if we as individuals, if we as a family want to make a success of our work with the Almighty God, if we want to make a success of our business, of our career, the things that we lay our hands upon to do, we ourselves have to learn to be intentional and to be deliberate in the things that we do. We have to learn to know, to understand that for you to be an overcomer, you cannot live life randomly. You can't just do things because other people are doing it. You can't just do things because that is the craze of the moment. It means that we have to live our lives in a well-choreographed, well-organized, well-researched, well-intentioned life. We must be intentional if we want to live a life that will bring the Lord Almighty praise. For us to live the life of the overcomer, we must be intentional. We must design, plan, and live our lives in a very, very intentional way. What do you want to become in life? You calculate and you know exactly what it takes to get there. What do you want your children to be? We look at the particular desire of their heart, look at what it takes to get there, and begin to plan along the way. How do you want to see yourself in the next 10 years? You begin to look at where we're going and plan accordingly. What do you want to do? How do you want to retire? All those kind of things require intentional design. If we're going to live the life of the overcomer, the life that is not going to end up being a liability, we must be deliberate in the way we live every day. There has to be a deliberate approach in the way we live our lives. You have to follow things in a particular way. Not just wake up one morning and say, I don't feel like doing something, and then you don't do it. If you don't feel like doing it today, you don't feel like doing it tomorrow, you're going to get yourself in trouble. The same thing if you wake up in the morning. Just imagine this when you are going to work every day. You wake up in the morning and say, I don't feel like going to work today. You call your boss, okay, I'm not feeling very well today, I don't feel like coming. Okay, first day, they give you pass. The next day, okay, I don't feel like coming to work. Okay, they give you a pass. After the third day, they will ask you to have a doctor's letter. You say you don't have a doctor's letter. Okay. By the fourth day, when you show up to work, they say, okay, we too don't feel like having you here anymore. The reason is because you cannot live your life by chance. You cannot do things randomly. You cannot live a life without any deliberate approach to it. And the person who wants to live a life as an overcomer has to be deliberate in the way they do things. But most importantly, we must be purposeful in the execution of our daily tasks. The people that we surround ourselves with, what are their purpose? Is it just to be able to talk about the weather? Or talk about the football? Or talk about whatever we have eaten yesterday? Or the parties that we're going to? What is the purpose of our relationship? What is the purpose of what we're doing? To live a life that will bring praise to the name of the Almighty God, we must be purposeful in the execution of our daily lives. Matthew chapter 26. If you start reading from verse number 24, Jesus Christ says something very interesting there. Jesus said, the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. In other words, Jesus is saying, everything about me is going according to plan. Everything about me is going according to the way it was written, according to the way it was orchestrated. I am not deviating from the plan. Everything the Lord Jesus Christ did, he did it by design. And that is why he said the Son of Man goes, as it is written, of him. The question is, how was our Lord able to live a life that is well focused? How was he able to live a life that is intentional, that was deliberate, that was well focused and consistent? How was he able to do it? How was he able to make sure that the distraction that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were bringing his way were not going to take him away from the direction that he was going? And how do you as an individual make sure that all the noise that is around us does not distract you from where you are supposed to be going? On the very beginning of the year, you say, Lord, this is the direction I want to go. And now you are in the months, the end of the first quarter. Before you know what's happened, the economy is upside down. This is going this one is going this way. And then we begin to change course. Just because we think that things are not happening. How can you stay focused and be intentional in a crazy world that we live in like this? Look at the Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we start reading from verse number 5. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, there's a particular mindset. There's a particular attitude that Jesus Christ had that Paul the apostle was able to recognize. And that attitude was what made Jesus a success in his ministry, a success in his walk when he was on earth. And Paul the apostle is recognizing this particular attitude and is telling you, if you want to make a success just like Christ did, you need to look at the attitude that Christ had. You need to look at the way Christ organized and designed his life. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what was the mind that was in Christ Jesus? What was the attitude that Christ had? Look at verse number 6. He said, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. In other words, humility. Jesus Christ was equal on the same level with God. But the Bible said that he did not consider himself to be equal with God. He did not consider himself to be robbery, to be considered less than God. He did not consider him an insult to demote to the human level. So look at what was the result of that humility. In verse number 7, the Bible tells us, but he made himself to be of no reputation, taking the form of a bondsman, and according to the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. I want you to notice verse 7 and 8. He said he made himself of no reputation, which means it was a choice. He made up his mind. Yes, I'm equal with God. I'm willing to relinquish my position. A deliberate choice. He took the form of a servant. That is a deliberate action. He chose not to come as a king. He chose not to be born in a palace. He chose to be born in a manger. He came in the likeness of man. Another deliberate action. He humbled himself and became obedient. Another deliberate action. In other words, Jesus was very intentional when he was about to be incarnated. It was well orchestrated. It was well planned. And you see, all the actions and the decision of our Lord Jesus Christ were not random. They were not accidental. They were conscious. They were deliberate. And they were intentional. Because of that intentional behavior, that intentional action, if you start reading from verse number 9 of Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, therefore, because he was deliberate in his action, therefore, because he was deliberate in his intention, therefore, because he was very, very deliberate in the choices that he made, therefore, God highly exalted him. A student that is deliberate in the way they approach their study, therefore, they will pass the exam. An employee that is deliberate in the way they do their job to give the best performance, therefore, they will get the promotion. The point we are making is that because of the deliberate, intentional acts of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, and things underneath the earth. That every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see in that particular passage in Philippians chapter 2, our Lord's deliberate action and intentions were the result, number one, of a conscious attitude. There is this mindset that he had, that before I do anything, I need to know the result of what I'm about to do. I need to plan the action. I need to understand the consequence. I need to be able to map this thing out. I'm not just going to do things anyhow. Before I form a relationship with this girl or with this boy, I want to know exactly what this relationship will look like. What is the benefit? What is the cost? Before I embark on this particular trip, what is going to be the result of this particular action? Jesus was able to make those decisions because he has this conscious attitude around everything that he does. Number two, our Lord's action were the result of his intentional attitude. Very intentional in the way he does things. Look at when he was about to set up the place for the Last Supper. He said, go into a city. You will see a donkey. He said, if anybody asks you, tell them that the master has use for it. It was already planned ahead of time. There was an intention to it. Everything he does was well calculated. Our Lord's action were the result of his intentional attitude. But most importantly, our Lord's action were the result of a deliberate approach to life. He had that attitude, a deliberate attitude. When he speaks to somebody, he speaks to you and he's there. When he does anything, he doesn't do it because other people are forcing him to do it or because he has to do it to impress anybody. Very deliberate in his attitude. Jesus understood that success in life and in anything we do is not the result of a random act. He understood that life, the life of an overcomer, is the result of a deliberate, conscious, intentional attitude. The life of an overcomer is the life of a winner. The life of a successful person is not something that happens. We just wake up in the morning and you are successful. No. Go and look at all the people who came into money through accidents just by winning the lottery. Look at them 2-3 years down the road. They are back and they are broke. Why? Because they have not learned the skills and the discipline to be able to maintain and preserve resources. And so when you become deliberate, you learn the skills and you develop the discipline to maintain resources. Jesus understood that the life of the overcomer is the result of a conscious, deliberate, and intentional attitude towards life. And the man and the woman who is going to live the life of the overcomer must be a conscious person, must be a deliberate person, must be intentional person towards his life and everything around him. You cannot sleepwalk through life. You cannot. If you do that, life will pass away and you will begin to ask yourself, where did it go? We cannot sleepwalk through life. We cannot go through life not being aware of what is happening around us. And the question is, when I'm talking about intentional attitude, when I'm talking about deliberate attitude, what am I talking about and why is it important? To live intentionally means living an inspired and a guided life. There's something you have at the back of your mind. You look at a little boy, you say, what do you want to become? You say, I want to be a football star. What do you see? He's practicing how to throw a basketball or to do something because he has a goal at the back of his mind. There's something that that particular boy or that little girl is pursuing. And because they have that goal at the back of their mind, everything they do is inspired and is guided to the life that they are desiring. The same thing should be is the life of somebody who is living an intentional life. The question is, how do you know if you are living a life that is intentional? How do you know? Number one, you know that you are living a life of intention when you look at what Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, reading from verse number 25, Paul the Apostle says something. He said, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. In other words, they make sure that they are disciplined in every area. That's basically what he's saying. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Now look at verse number 26. He said, therefore, because I want to get a crown, because I'm going towards a particular goal, because I want to achieve something, he said, therefore I run. Not as uncertain. In other words, I have a plan. Not as uncertain, I fight. Not as one that is just beating the air. I'm not just practicing. I have a focus. I have an objective. But I discipline my body and bring it unto subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself will become a castaway. In other words, Paul the Apostle is saying, if you want to know if you are living an intentional life, Paul is giving us the guideline. And the first thing you are going to understand when you talk about a person who lives an intentional life is that they live an informed life. What does it mean? I want to be XYZ. What does it take to be XYZ? It's just like somebody who's going to downtown. That is the goal. You are going to downtown. The first thing for you not to get lost in the traffic, you need to at least know where downtown is. Is it 24 East or 24 West? If you face 24 East, you know you're already lost. So what do? You educate yourself. Which direction goes to downtown? 24 West. So that's what you put your car on. If you look at the road and you see 24 East, you know that you are going the wrong direction. The point I'm making is that for you to know that you are living an intentional life, you have to be informed. What do I want? And how do I get what I want? Number two, for you to know that you are living an intentional life, you have to plan it. For those of us who have lived in Nashville for a number of years, you know in those days when you live where we are right now, you can get to downtown in less than 20 minutes. But you can't do that anymore. Because everybody now wants to live in Nashville. And the whole place is now jam-packed. If you don't plan your journey, and you have an appointment in the next 15 minutes, and you say, I'm going to hit Nashville, most likely you are not going to get there on time. The same thing. If you want to live an intentional life, there has to be a plan. How am I going to get from point A to point B? What does it take for me to achieve what I need to achieve? There has to be a plan. So if you don't live a planned life, you are not living an intentional life. If you don't live an informed life, you are not living an intentional life. For you to know that you are living an intentional life, number three, you have to be organized. You cannot just do things anyhow. You cannot be everywhere at the same time. You have to be organized. Number four, you have to be focused. A person who wants to go to downtown Nashville, all of a sudden heard something is going on in Upper Mill, and then he does well. So let's check out what's going on in Upper Mill first. And then we go from there, let's go to Donaldson and see what's happening. By the time you do all detours, you may not even get to the destination where you're going. There has to be a focus if you are living an intentional life. But most importantly, there has to be a purpose. Why are you going to where you're going? Am I going there just to go and go sightseeing? Am I going there because everybody's just going there? Or am I going there because I have something to do there? Is there a reason why I'm doing what I'm doing? Am I doing it just to make sure everybody's happy? Am I doing it so that they can think that, yes, I'm the best thing that ever happened after sliced bread? Why am I doing what I am doing? It has to be purposeful. When you live a purposeful life, you are living an intentional life because you are letting the overall objective guide what you do. You are letting it determine the steps that you take. You are letting it determine the people that you surround yourself with. You are letting it determine the discipline that you take. But if you don't live a purposeful life, if there is no reason for what you are doing, you live anyhow. That's why the Bible tells us, it said that where there is no vision, where there is no purpose, it said the people live a careless life. They do things anyhow. If there is no reason for your money, that is when you can go to the club and spend it on people you don't even know, don't even like, because you have no purpose for it. But when there is a purpose, when there is a particular objective, when there is a goal that you are trying to achieve, you find out that your life becomes organized. Things begin to fall in pleasant places for you. That is what it means to live a life intentionally. But the question is, how do you do it? Why would you want to live an intentional life? Why would you want to live a life that is guided, a life that is purposeful? Because ordinarily you think that should be very boring. People should live spontaneously. My brothers and sisters, we must be intentional about our lives, about our future, about our career, about anything that pertains to our life, because your life, my life, your future, my future is your responsibility. Regardless of what we hear in the news, how somebody else is your problem, your life, my life, our future, your future is your responsibility. We must be intentional because success in life is not random. You don't wake up one day and become a millionaire. If you did, many of us would have been millionaires. That's why you have to be intentional in your job, in the study, in your relationship, even in the finances. There has to be intentionality because success in life is not random. We have to be intentional because if you are not intentional, you are going to be executing the blueprint for the life of somebody else. Somebody else is going to put you to work to execute their own plan that will bring about their own future. Don't make a plan for yourself. You will leave the plan of another person. Why must you be intentional? We must be intentional because success in life only responds to careful design. Success, life, everything in life that works respond to careful design. And that is why it does not make sense for somebody to wake up one day and tell us that this carefully well-designed world is a product of chance. That somebody just woke up one day, matter didn't know what to do. They collided together and then they became a cosmic blank. And all of a sudden the bank decided to change its mind and become the organic soup. And then organic soup woke up one day and became an animal. And then the animal decided to take a shave and then became a human being. Those are just pure stupidity. But if you are not intentional, life will not respond to you. Try it with your money. Don't have any plan. The money comes in, just go and do whatever you want. Then you begin to see the collection calls. That's how it works. That's how life operates. Life responds to careful design. And then finally, we are intentional about our lives because life rewards careful planning. Look at the man who is always broke and the one that has a little bit of excess and has control over his life. Look at it. There's a plan somewhere. So life rewards careful planning. That is why we have to be intentional about our life. What I'm about to say might be offensive to some people, but the reality is this. Our career, our relationship, our spiritual life, where we are today, the life that we are living right now, is perfectly designed to get the result that we're getting. You may not like it, but that is the truth. Where we are today, the life that we're living right now, is carefully designed to get the result that we're getting. Many of us have heard the cliche, can't be repeating the same thing and expect a different result. But the life we're living right now, what we're seeing right now, the result that we're seeing right now is as a function of the things that we have put in place yesterday. And that is what we're seeing today. Now, we may not like the result that we're seeing currently. We may not be happy with what we're seeing. But one thing I can assure you is that consciously or unconsciously, we created what we're seeing right now. Is it in our finances? Is it in our marriage? Is it in our career? Whatever you are seeing right now manifest in our life is a function of what we created, either consciously or unconsciously. So if we are not happy with what we're seeing, if we are dissatisfied with where we are right now, and we think we need a change, we have several options. Option number one, we can cry and complain. And a lot of people do that. Can cry and complain. God, why me? I'm good looking. Why am I like this? I deserve more money. We can cry and complain. Number two, we can be angry and blame everybody. Well, we blame everything on somebody else. We never take responsibility for anything. We are looking at the picture that we are seeing and we are not happy with the picture, so we have to blame somebody else. It has to be the responsibility of somebody else. After all, I'm perfect. I'm the best thing that ever happened in life. I'm God's blessings to the whole world. So, it can never be my fault. It has to be somebody else's fault. So we can cry and complain. We can protest and demand our rights. Yes, I demand. It has to be $17 an hour. What is $17? Let's make it $20. We can do that. How many people have become a millionaire by earning $20 an hour? Very few. The point you are making is that you can cry, complain. You can be angry and blame. You can protest and demand. You can disengage and withdraw. Just like a lot of people are doing. You refuse to come out. You begin to get depressed. Begin to get despaired. Such responses will not change anything for us. Just to let us know. The response will not produce any change. It will continue to perpetrate the same thing. Without a well-developed, deliberate plan, nothing will change. The only way we can move in the direction of our desired future and become an overcomer is to, number one, you have to stop and reassess. Where am I? Why am I here? How did I get here? You have to be at least honest with the man that you're looking at in the mirror. You stop and you reassess. Why am I the way I am? Why is my finances like this? Why is my relationship like this? Why am I not making progress in my place of work? As long as you take the focus from away from other people and you focus it on yourself, you are beginning on the right road. And that is what you find all throughout scripture. There has to be a point where you stop and you reassess. Peter, when he was ministering after Pentecost, after preaching, they said, "Men and brethren, what do we do?" He said, "Repent and turn." In other words, stop the direction that you're going. Come back to the Almighty God. The same thing applies in every area of our life where we are not seeing the result that we're looking for. Number two, not just stop and reassess. You have to redesign the plan and then begin to change. Because if you say you stop, you realize, yes, I'm not spending my money very well. I think the way I'm spending money is not good. And then the following paycheck comes and you do exactly the same thing. Then you are just, something is wrong somewhere. Because it is not enough for you to stop and reassess your situation. What are you going to do differently? What are you going to change? What am I going to change? God says, and I'm a sinner, yes. Am I going to continue to live in sin and expect the grace of God to continue? God says, no way. Paul the apostle told us that. Shall we continue in sin and expect the grace of God to multiply? He said, no. You cannot continue to travel in the same direction, on the same path, and expect that something miraculously, you're going to end up in a different destination. It doesn't work like that. Just like the illustration we gave the other time. You are going to downtown Nashville. You are facing 24 East. You will get there. You will end up in Chattanooga. And if you keep going, you get to Atlanta. As you keep going, you get to Florida. The point you are making is that you have to stop and reassess. Then you have to redesign and change. And then finally, when you have put the change in place, then you implement and execute it. This is the way I'm going to spend my money. In the first place, you begin to X out of Amazon because no more shopping. You start cutting off all those things so that you begin to put focus where focus needs to be. You begin to implement the plan. You begin to execute the plan. The same thing for somebody who wants to become a believer. The Bible said that let him that steal no more. You have to be able to put a stop and say, how do I move from where I am to where I need to be? What needs to be put in place? There has to be the implementation and the execution of the plan.
Thank you very much for listening to our program today. We invite you to join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. for our Sunday worship service at 2711 Murfreesboro Road in Antioch, Tennessee. We also host Bible study and prayer meetings every Friday at 7 p.m. Visit us online at www.lifelonganointing.com and on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Join us next time for another edition of Fresh Encounter. On behalf of Lifelong Anointing Church, we thank you for listening.